President Obama has just finished his annual State of the Union address, and there is plenty that needs to be said about his ideology and agenda. But for today's program, I would like to talk about something far bigger and far more important than the condition of America. The United States is called the lone superpower, the most powerful nation on earth. But there is a nation that is far more powerful and influential, and it's the church, the kingdom of God. The kingdom that the prophet Daniel said will be set up not by men, but by the God of heaven. A kingdom which will never be destroyed, and it will crush and put an end to all other kingdoms. But it will itself endure forever. Daniel chapter 2. Where is the kingdom of God? It's here. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is in your midst. Luke 17. It's unseen for now, but King Jesus is on his throne, and his citizens are scattered as ambassadors among the cities of men. You who know the Lord are fellow workers in the kingdom of God. Colossians chapter 4. To you it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom. To those outside it has not been granted. Matthew 13. You have been given the keys to the kingdom of God. Matthew 16. And the kingdom of God must be preached as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Matthew 24. So in this program, I will be giving my annual State of the Church address. And as one of the Lord's under-shepherds in this greatest kingdom on earth, I am authorized to represent the kingdom of Christ. Oh, by the way, this is God and Country Radio. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. And although this program is often about the Bible, politics, and social issues, my goal is always to use current events to teach people about Christ's kingdom and to advance his cause in the world. People often wonder if from the pulpit of my church, I talk about politics every Sunday. Never. I am way too busy expositing the scriptures than to discuss trivial things like the kingdom of man. I leave almost all political application of the Bible to this radio venue. And as a pastor of a small church, if I were elected to Congress or even to the presidency, it would be a demotion, a downgrade, a pay cut to my eternal retirement benefits. Now, I say all this just to help you to see that the church is the most important thing happening on earth. Even though the world doesn't recognize the church, it doesn't recognize us, even as it didn't recognize Christ. 1 John 3:1. Now, that's all by way of introduction. Let's begin our State of the Church address for 2013. Music, please. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Citizens of Christ's kingdom, sons of God by faith. Let me begin by saying, as I say every year, the church is doing just fine. Jesus Christ is building his church right on schedule, and the gates of hell are not prevailing against the church. The state of the church is marvelous, and we never measure the success of the church by our total gross domestic product, by revenues or deficits, by buildings or numbers. We do not judge according to appearances, but we judge righteous judgment. And the church is usually doing the best when outwardly it looks the worst. Now, some of you, I hear, have been discouraged or frightened by the enormous increase in the power and influence of secular humanists in education, business, government, and the jettison of Christianity and Christian truth from the public square and from places of authority in this world. Do not let your heart be troubled. What we are seeing is actually a cleverly devised plan by our king to expose unbelievers for who they really are, so that in the last days, the enemies of God would not hide their real agenda. They would not fake Christianity, but that they would show their true colors and their policies would come down upon their own heads, so that they will see that they are reaping the fruit of their false ideology. And it is God himself that is sending upon them a strong delusion. He couples their ungodly immorality with foolish political, economic, social policy so that they sell a store. They collapse their economy. They turn the colleges from places of science and technology into dens of immorality. Furthermore, be encouraged that by the growth of evil and ungodly policies in our world, God is using it to help our evangelism. The global warming nonsense, the feminism nonsense, the socialism nonsense, the overspending and the bankruptcies of Western governments are waking up a few more souls to their need for God's eternal salvation. John Calvin wrote, "The course of events is never so disturbed by the depravity and the wickedness of men, but that God can direct them to a good end." And there will be a great harvest of souls for the kingdom, even as the Antichrist kingdom is taking the world stage. And as another fringe benefit, the growth of evil in the world is purifying the church. Because you never learn to hate sin as much as when you see the fruit of it. And in these last days, the members of the church are losing their attachments to the world. Now, a decade or two ago, if the rapture of the church took place, many saints would be white-knuckled, holding onto their homes and their cars and their 401ks and all of their worldly ambitions in this life. But now, God's people are more ready than ever to leave Egypt. The feathers are being taken out of the nest. And more than ever, we are looking forward to the return of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And the church, the bride, is being made ready. So the church is doing just fine. God is on his throne, and everything is working according to the plan. But you say, oh, you don't understand, Pastor. Church membership is dropping. Pastors are falling into sin. There is greed and excess in popular national ministries. Doctrinal error is entering into the evangelical church. You've made the typical mistake of confusing religion for the church, even religion operating under the name of Christianity. Do you know how many people in America claim to be Christian? 219 million, 73%. Therefore, according to the surveys, for every four people you meet, three are true Christians. I don't think so. Jesus said that the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. The way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter through that gate. People in general really don't understand the difference between religious moralism and true conversion. What you see in the visible church is not the true church. Such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, holding to a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. How is the visible church doing? It's doing awful. It is mostly the synagogue of Satan. How is the invisible church of Christ doing? Tremendously well. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it till the day of Christ. And those new Christians, who still have a mind informed by the flesh and the world, they are often caught in popular worldly forms of Christianity. But because they have the Spirit of God within, they are slowly growing and gradually coming out. Now, every year in the State of the Union address, our president will enumerate problems that he believes the federal government needs to act upon. Healthcare, employment problems, national security issues. Some of these problems are real, others are overblown for political purposes. But what issues face the church in America? There are many, but because of time, I would like to address just two. The church and the political climate, and the purity and holiness of the church. First, the church and the political climate. As I just mentioned, the demoralization of America, if that's a word, the decline in America's morals, the great rebellion against the law of God by our government is a great concern. How is the state of the church when it comes to the church's job of being salt and light, stemming the tide of ungodliness and winning people for the kingdom of Christ? And my answer might surprise you. I believe by the leading of the Spirit of God, the church is doing very well in leaving a witness to the nations. All the Christians I know are working overtime trying to win those around them to Christ. And most of my work as a pastor is not in berating Christians for their lack of involvement, but in encouraging Christians who, after years of witnessing, they're still not seeing their coworkers, their family, their neighbors take an interest in Jesus Christ. Just like the disciples who Jesus sent into the cities of Galilee, those cities rejected the message. I addressed this issue 2 years ago in my 2011 State of the Church address. But the error is still pervasive. I still hear some pastors, Bible study leaders, evangelical seminar speakers blaming the lostness of the world on Christians. Now, it might work to make people in the pews be driven to action by guilt, but it makes for terrible theology. Think about this for a moment. Paul wrote that in the end, God will remove his restraint on the world and the world will embrace the Antichrist. The favor that Christianity has been shown in the Western world has been by God's restraining power. True Christians have never been in the majority. God has simply caused unbelievers to capitulate and conform to Christian values. Man is naturally the enemy of God. And under normal circumstances, mankind will never have representatives of Christ rule over them. How do you think Joseph, Daniel, and Esther were able to become government officials? Only by supernatural miracles. But we read in Scripture that at the end of the church age, God will remove his restraint and Satan will embolden the ungodly to throw off all Christian influences and persecute the church. That is the prophecy. And I am concerned how the Christian community will interpret these times when Christianity becomes marginalized. Will we point the finger at one another and say, if you had been a better witness, we would not be losing the world to the Antichrist? Will we say the apocalypse is the church's fault because our youth groups and our youth rallies weren't cool enough? Our websites weren't flashy enough? We didn't Twitter enough? We should have made more YouTube videos? You see how there's a real theological problem with blaming the church for the lostness of the world and the current decline in the morals in America. Now, the root problem is that many churches have embraced a theology that teaches conversion is merely a human decision, derived at by human persuasion. And if you believe that, the end result is that you have to believe that every lost person in hell is there because believers didn't persuade well enough. We did not wine and dine the lost enough. But that's not the thrust of the New Testament. The Gospels, Paul's letters, Peter's letters, John's letters, all have a positive tone toward the testimony of the church. And the lostness of the lost is placed at the feet of the world's own willful rejection of Jesus Christ. Now, we have to keep this in mind. Otherwise, God's people are going to be very depressed in the days to come. And there's going to be all sorts of vain attempts to get people saved through human Madison Avenue marketing techniques. For the wrong theology of conversion will mandate wrong methods. We are already seeing this. People aren't coming to the churches like they used to. And the increase in church marketing techniques and the church accommodating to the tastes of the world are a knee-jerk reaction from many untaught church leaders who are trying to keep up the numbers. But conscientious Christians are already realizing that these methods are not making true converts. And they're starting to see something else is going on. This is the great apostasy Paul spoke about. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be busy in evangelism or that the individual Christian could not do more. But ultimately, the moral decline in America is not God's punishment on Christians for their failure to evangelize America. It is God's punishment on the wicked for their failure to listen to the Christian message. Now, this flows over into what I hear in Christian circles about the church's involvement in politics. I am hearing, and I'm sure you have heard, that the reason we are losing this nation to ungodly laws is because Christians are not taking action politically. How do you stand on that issue? I run into some Christians and some Christian groups who say Christians are involved in politics too much. It's hurting our testimony. I run into other Christians and Christian groups who claim Christians are doing too little. Now, how you stand on this will determine what actions you take over the next few years. Now, I personally believe the church is doing just fine in political activism. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the people of God have struck a good balance. I am probably one of just a handful of people who believe this. But hear me out. From my experience, 95% of the Christians in the churches that I have pastored vote and urge others to vote biblical values. And in general, I would say that evangelicals are way more politically active than the average population. And they overwhelmingly support Christian values of pro-life and pro-traditional family and pro-small government and pro-freedom of choice in education. And they support these causes monetarily. Now, of course, there are some churches and groups that shun political involvement. I see them as a tiny minority. Some say they represent a large number in the Christian community. I don't see it. I believe Christians in America are politically involved and they have achieved the political goal. Everyone in America and in the leadership knows where the Christian community, what is called the Christian right, stands on the social issues. When America collapses, nobody can rightfully say, "We didn't know what the church had to say about America's sin." The church has informed and warned the population. But we have not put so much pressure upon the world by protests or by riots that the society would outwardly conform to Christian values merely out of pressure and fear. Christ would not have us do that. Nobody's arms were twisted by Christian activism. The level of Christian activism that some people expect is every Christian writing Congress 5 days a week and showing up in mass rallies every week at the steps of the Capitol. But I'm not sure that is what the Spirit of God would want for the church to do. And obviously, the Spirit of God has not led the church to do this. There comes a time when we are to wipe the dust off our feet, as Jesus said. God doesn't beg, nor does he have his people grovel. Have you noticed that in the last few months, the tone has changed among conservative pundits? We used to hear from conservative leaders that the decline in America is the fault of the conservatives for not doing enough. But after this last election, I am finally starting to hear the leadership say that it's not because of our lack of activism that we have liberal politicians in office. Why? Because in the last election, conservatives put in a stellar effort, and we still lost. I recently heard a very popular conservative leader say about his audience that they have done all that they can do, above and beyond the call of duty. One caller insisted that if the Republicans were only better at sound bites, if they were better at connecting with minorities, etc., 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 then we would have won the election. But this particular host shot the man down and said it would not have mattered. 51% of the population has made up their mind concerning the direction they want this country to go in regard to homosexual rights, abortion rights, and big government. And that change in tone applies to the work of the church. It's not that we need to do this or that, but the day has come that the ungodly have made their choice. Now, we're going to still teach the word. We're going to still vote, but the handwriting of judgment is already on the wall. And what you're going to see over the next few years is that the church, Christians and their biblical values will be marginalized. Let me explain. Have you ever noticed that there appears to be a decline in the political activism in the church? Jerry Falwell has passed away, and so has that older generation of political Christian activism. Focus on the family and their political arm, Family Action and Citizen, doesn't seem to be having the same impact. The CWA, Concerned Women for America, is not as visible. Now, there's all sorts of speculation about this depending on who you talk with. Some say good riddance. Others say it has all failed because it didn't work. Others say that the Christian theology of political activism has changed. Yet if you were to look at the facts, there is more Christian activism in applying biblical values to the political scene now than 25 years ago. I see more websites, more literature, more spokesperson for Christian values. And I'm going to take an educated guess here. It's not that there is any less Christian activism. It is that the media has deliberately marginalized the church. The media has smartened up. It is no longer putting the microphone in front of conservative Christians. 20 years ago, every time the media had an issue, they would report on what Jerry Falwell had to say about it or what James Dobson had to say about it. And the media was unintentionally giving Christian groups free promotion, causing the world to see the influence of the church. Now the media seems to be avoiding all Christian spokespersons and values. They now realize that they can advance the liberal agenda more by completely marginalizing the actions and views of God's people. And the opposite is also true. As Christian leaders are marginalized, secular leaders and groups are promoted. And the way the media reports on some of these liberal groups, you would think that they represent millions, but they're actually very small. Now, the tendency is to think that the only thing that is happening is what is reported on the news. Therefore, it's easy to think that the church is no longer politically active. But I see that there are just as many Christians teaching biblical values in our society and asking for godly laws, but the media is ignoring them, and it's making some Christians believe that the church is asleep or that the church has changed tactics. The main point I want you to see here is that you, the church, should be prepared to see the progressive marginalizing of Christianity out of the public discussion. This is the agenda of the spirit of the Antichrist. 1 John chapter 4, he who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Remember what King Zedekiah did to the message from Jeremiah? He cut it up with a penknife and threw it in the fire. Remember Stephen when he preached to the leaders of Israel? The Sanhedrin drowned out Stephen's voice with their loud cries as they covered their ears. Remember Paul? When he got up to speak before his nation, what did the people do? They were crying out and throwing off their cloaks and tossing dust into the air. In Revelation 11, what do the people of the world do with God's messengers? They kill them and then celebrate their death by sending gifts to one another. So what do you expect the world to do at the end of the age? Now, by God's supernatural help, we have had a very good platform in this country for many years. But now it's gradually being taken away. The leaders and the people are closing their eyes to God's truth. And that is a sign that the end is near. So this is the state of the church concerning our external outreach and witness. But now let's look inwardly. What God wants for the church in the last days and what God will do for the church in the last days is purify the church. We read in the New Testament that the church is described as the bride prepared for Christ. Ephesians 5, Christ is sanctifying and cleansing the church so that he might present it to himself, the church in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. The bride, the church, will be cleaned up and dressed for the wedding day. And that parallels the texts in the Old Testament about the coming day of the Lord, which teach, before the end, God will not only purify his people, but the rebels and the fakes will be purged out of his congregation. Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. Many will be purged, purified, and refined. You have probably seen what has been happening in the visible church over the last decade. Church services that are mimicking mini rock concerts or Broadway theater, this is all in vogue. And I encourage you to occasionally visit the website alittleleaven.com. Not 11, but leaven. A little leaven, LEAVEN.com. The Museum of Idolatry. There you will find listed all of the latest worldliness in the church. Videos of churches imitating Michael Jackson's Thriller performance on stage. The church band singing Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train. Young girls wearing halter tops in the praise band. And these church leaders think this is great stuff. I will tell you right now that God is soon going to cleanse his church of these people. As the Lord wrote to the church of Thyatira, you tolerate the Jezebel spirit, and I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. God is going to put his church through the sieve in the last days. Judging the current condition of the church is very difficult. Church historians can always look back in retrospect and judge the various ages of the church objectively. But when you're living in a certain age, sometimes you can't see the big picture and you get caught up in all the minutiae. So what's the big picture today? What will the church be experiencing over the next few years? And what should the church focus on in this age? You want to be a real prophet? Don't go to the church growth seminars. Study the book of the Revelation, and you will know what the will of God for the church is for this age. Revelation 19. The bride has made herself ready. It was given her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. God's work today is on the purity of the church. While every other popular Christian group is trying to figure out how to get more people in the church, the real movement of God will be to get the unsaved out of the church. This is all we have time for today in our State of the Church address. I've enjoyed so much talking about the church. These are the people I love. Psalm chapter 16, verse 3. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. You have been listening to God and Country Radio. To listen to this message again or past programs, go to our website, godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Email us or call us at 732-583-9286. For a free CD of today's program or the free resource for the month of February, a brochure called Christianity versus Socialism. We would love to get that out in the mail to you. That is godandcountryradio.org, 732-583-9286. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are building your church by your grace and by your power. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.